We're going to continue this morning with number 173. And while you're looking that up, I'm going to read the announcements for the week. Stand. Good to see all of you this morning. Our brother has traveled many miles. He's not from around here, but he has been willing to stand before us and deliver the Word of God that's been impressed upon his heart. And so I would ask that you would give him your careful and your prayerful attention to our brother Kurt Yates.
Thank you, Bob. It is a pleasure and a privilege to be here, even with this heavy responsibility, that I can proclaim the Word of God. A prayer in my heart that the Holy Spirit would embrace me, that I speak only the truth. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, I greet you all. I have kinsmen. I have friends. I have smiling faces from all those that are not numbered in my kinsmen and my personal friends that I know. But I know in your heart that you strive and you have a thirst for righteousness, or you wouldn't be here. And it is refreshing to see young people in church. We've all been blessed by God because we've all had the miracles of life that sustained us. And the great bread of life is what Christ can give us and has given us our portion many times. I know that I'm here because God has blessed me. And my soul is wretched, and I'm empty many times. I'm just a natural man. But I have accepted the responsibility to represent the truth in the plan of redemption, the salvation of man. And so it's important that what I say God endorses. I want to turn to third book of Nephi, page 672, chapter 12, and begin with verse 25. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came unto the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up on the cross. And after that I had been lifted up on the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father, to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause I have been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. And we live this day in, by the grace of God. And this great sacrifice gives us the opportunity in our life struggle to repent, and above all, have the fear of God. Having the fear of God in us, and knowing that each day that we have our task before us, we have got that plus in our lives. Last Sunday, the man who stood here, our brother, talked about the will of God. The will of God is that we have a thirst for righteousness and we keep the commandments, his testimonies, his judgments, and his statutes. And so it behooves us all. One broad statement that has been given: love your neighbor as yourself. We're friends by blood. We're friends by neighbors. And in the scripture it says, God said, love all men. So it has been said that we should deal justly with one another. And if we have a thirst for righteousness and we please God, that is keeping his way and following after him. You know, in other religious organizations, it says, believe on me. But they just drop it there. There's so much required every day of our life. This song we just sang, 173. I can't quote things that I hear very quick. Each day it behooves us all to discipline our lives, pleasing God. And the prayer in your heart, that your deeds and your thoughts are acceptable before him. The first and greatest commandment is to love God with all your might, mind, and strength. And that will not be the case if you don't follow his commandments. Because it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Everybody has a trial in life. You have all kinds of obstacles that come before you and you struggle. Sometimes you want to give up. But by faith and the hope that should lie in us, the ultimate of life is to save your soul and be acceptable and know that God says, come unto me, you've finished your race, and I receive you. When I was a young man, I remember I was 7 years old. My grandfather, James E. Yates, had transferred his membership from the Reorganized Church. I, since that date of my life, I've gained this understanding, but at the time I didn't know. But my father had been called, and my grandfather, being the only one present after the calling, and I think there was some other ministers had departed on their journey, but my grandfather was there in the house where I was born, and he laid his hands upon my father. Nobody told me what was taking place. But when my grandfather laid his hands on my dad, tears began to run down my eyes, and a warm glow of love and a closeness of, I can hardly explain it. But that has lasted all my life, that very great experience. And at a later time in my life, my grandfather was attending conference, and he resided with us there on Sterling in Independence. And I was 15. And for what reason, I don't know. On his missionary work was to lead him up to Minnesota, Bemidji, and I found out later that they were building a church. And he asked my father if he could take me. He did. I had other brothers, but he asked to take me. And I enjoyed every minute of it. And I received some admonition and some discipline. He had a big, strong hand, and he had a strong middle finger. And when I made a mistake, and he was close by, he'd give me that. Pay attention. Straighten up. I did. I tried. But I was gone with him six weeks through the summer. And we built the church. It was just primitive, but it was a church. And in the process of building the church, he and the other church members, and Brother Winninger and my grandfather, they were building, and I remember this day. They were both up on this scaffolding along the side, and they were finishing the roof. And in their maneuvering, it fell. They were up considerable, their feet probably 10 feet off the ground. And Brother Winninger hit the ground and got bruised pretty bad. But my grandfather lit on his feet. Well, he was that kind of a fellow. But I knew that grandfather of mine was embraced by God just about every minute of his life. Every morning, we lived in a little cabin down by Turtle Lake. Had to go down through a canopy of trees. And every morning, I'd wake up and he wasn't there. I'd hear him going out. And he always went out and talked to God. I know. He had another thing about him that was unique. He never would eat before he had to speak. He wanted his mind clear. That's not a very great sacrifice, but it is serious conditioning of the heart for his day of responsibility. And everybody that knew my grandfather didn't want him to leave if he was there to speak or talk. I've been with him when he spoke and should quit at 12 o'clock. But at 1 o'clock, everybody was happy he was still speaking. He was moved by God. I believe he was a righteous man. And another incident to understand the Spirit is that I was at conference in Independence in the old church, and an old brother named Brother Madden. He was almost 100 years old. He had white hair. And he asked to be ministered to. And I don't know who helped. Stood with my grandfather. But he spoke in tongues during the ministration. And the tears flowed from this old gentleman's eyes. And he nodded affirmative. And that season of prayer and testimony in tongues was interpreted as the old man acknowledged the one who spoke after that his reward of life and his acceptance unto God was so great, he smiled, and in a short time he passed on. But God can touch your hearts, and you can feel it. And you know, in these churches today, they say God loves you. That's true. But there's much required. If you love me, you shall keep my commandments. I'm not speaking anything new, not one bit. But in my life's experience, I've experienced a lot of miracles, a lot of blessings from God. My brother Byron, when he was just 4 or 5 years old, and my grandfather's mother was there, Grandma Crawley. I was raised with my brothers and sisters to go to bed with a prayer. But my brother came down with pneumonia. Back those days, he didn't have a doctor. But the faith of my father prevailed. And my mother thought my brother was dead. And she took a spoon, which was cool, and put it across his nose to see if there's any warm air or anything that would touch the spoon, it would condense and it'd be moist. There was no life in him. His breath never stained the spoon. And we all knelt down and prayed. And before bedtime for the rest of us, my brother was rosy-cheeked and happy. That's great. Also, in my life, I worked for the American Oil Refinery. 1959, they had a strike. And in a short time, it lasted 9 months. But shortly after we went on strike, my older brother's wife passed away, and my wife and I kept his children. Took her children. We had 10 children in my house. I didn't have any work. But I did go and do a lot of things. And during that time, my two younger boys had polio. That's not easy. But God brought me through. Brother Sheldon and one other elder came out, and they administered to my youngest boys. The youngest boy was already in the hospital, and we didn't know that he had polio. And my second boy had the same symptoms. So we knew whatever the first boy had, he had too. And they came out, and I explained to my son what they were going to do. I said, would you like to be administered to? He shook his head, yes. He was 7 years old. And he looked up to me, and he says, yes, Dad. He says, and I won't be sick tomorrow. And it never affected the boy. But the other boy, pronounced by the doctors, would never walk again. And he was administered to. And at that point, I don't think my wife had belonged, joined, and was baptized. But she put her faith in God. And when the fever had left the boy, he was still bedfast. And my wife said to him, my son says, come to me. And the doctor said, no. But he came over to her. That's a miracle. So I know that God performs miracles. And I know he's blessed me because there's been many things that's happened to me. And I'm still here. I'm here today. And so let us not lose faith or trust in God. But let our lives be the evidence of our love, which it is, whether we want to agree to that or not. You know, people say, yeah, I love God. I believe everything in the Bible. It's pretty flimsy. Life's real. Life's serious. And how great it would be, and how great in our hopes we have, all of us that we love each other can reach the end of life and stand before that great judgment bar and all be grouped together. How great that would be. I lost my wife a little over 3 years ago. I was a happy husband for 59 years. But she's with God wherever his prerogative and righteous judgment is. But how great it'll be if I can hold her hand again. We sit next to loved ones today that are important to our lives. God wants to embrace us all in his love. And there's much required. We read the songs, every fleeting moment is important. It's true. Nobody knows how many days are allotted to each one of us. I pray in my heart that I can be a blessing to others and to myself and please God. Well, because God knows everything in our heart. We know that. And so, we pray because of faith and we hope. And the hope for salvation, how great it is. I want to read Chapter 3, 1 John. And I guess I'll read it all because these words were inspired of God and given to John for us. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Well, this was given back at the time that Christ had been crucified. He came to do his father's will. And history had been recorded, and this man was inspired to call a remembrance to his influence and what he taught. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. And if we abideth in him, we're keeping his commandments. And repentance means to stop and to turn around. And as the natural man and as the weakness of humanity, as we are, if it hadn't been for the grace of God, we would never have this opportunity to repent and ask for forgiveness. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Well, you know, we try to read this literal. And in other words, if we continue to sin, it says, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Well, he's speaking to people that would hear this the first time and not really walk with him or had him directly give his gospel to them. Little children, let not man deceive you that he that doeth righteousness is righteousness, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You know, that's a pretty strong statement. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So life is serious, and so we have to be earnest about all the things that we think and do. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, and we should love one another, not as Cain, who was that of a wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works are evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. You know, it's a kind of a hard thing for our discipline to prevail out in the world when we have friends we know that they're worldly. And so we don't rebuke them too much. We kind of go along. We don't stand up for Christ because we feel like, well, we'll lose something. We might lose his friendship. So we compromise. And that's not exactly the way it ought to be. And they might turn and hate us if we, you know, rebuke them. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love our brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. Boy, how strong that is. And that literally is not correct. But we read what it means. You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. He wouldn't. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let's not lie to ourselves. You know, Job, when God put the curse on him, boy, he wondered, how come you're doing this to me, God? I'm a righteous man. I've always been righteous. And he just, boy, he held fast to that. And his friends tried to admonish him and straighten him out in their judgment. And he just continued. But then what happened? God told him the truth. And you know, there's a lot of people think, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I don't steal. I don't do this. I don't do that. So, hey, God loves me. You know, the world, in the business world, in the economy of the nations, there's wealthy men and wealthy men and wealthy men above wealthy men. And I've heard people think, well, shoot, look what I've got, man. God's really blessed me. But he don't stop to think that he probably stole from somebody or exploited somebody to get it. He just thinks because he's really wealthy and he's sitting on easy street that God give it all to him. That's not true. And the trials of life test us. You know, when things come down on us real hard, and God don't love me anymore and I'm bad. You know, this and that. But if you endure and you keep the commandments and you give God the praise and the glory for the love and the compassion that he has for us, you'll triumph in the end. It isn't what you can't take anything with you. You came in this world pretty slim, and that's the way you're going to leave. But that which money can't buy is the great hope and that great substance, the rod of iron in righteousness, the faith and trust in God. And this grace that I'm alluding to, how great it is. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of Son Jesus Christ, love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Well, we're right. Boy. Oh, yeah, here we go. Well, good grief. I put down my wrong page number. So I better start looking through here where I'm supposed to be. Whoop. You know, I guess I can't make no excuses. But sometimes these pages stick together and you think you're getting where you belong, but you're not. Bear with me, folks. Okay, this is kind of a summary It says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. We're not in darkness. We have the truth. We're being embraced by His Holy Spirit. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken and are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. By our Lord Jesus, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. This is summary. Who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech ye, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil. You know, in the scripture, there's a condition of men in the last days that they say and give instructions that this is good, but it's evil. They don't know the difference. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, us. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You know, the gospel of Christ, those of us as have grown up in it, we as ministers can't bring anything new. But I'll read this. Here's in the book of Moroni, chapter 10. I'm going to read this and I will close. You know, these men, they didn't bring their Bible and stand up and read out of it and preach. God inspired their heart, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Gave them utterance. And how great it is that these things that they said, we have that we can read and consider. I'm just going to start on the 15th verse and finish the chapter. It says, wherefore there must be faith. And if there must be faith, there must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except you have charity, you can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can you be saved in the kingdom of God if you have not faith. Neither can ye if you have no hope. And if you have no hope, ye must needs be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. So it behooves us to keep the commandments of God. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if you have faith, you can do all things which are expedient unto me. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be cause of unbelief. And woe be unto the children of men if this be the case. For there shall be none that doeth good among you, no, not one, if we lose faith. For if there be one among you that doeth good, he shall work by the power and gifts of God. So if we hold fast to faith and that hope and that understanding that we live it by the grace of God, for if there be one among you that doeth good, he shall work by the power and gifts of God. And woe unto them who shall do these things away and die, for they die in their sins, and they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And I speak according to the words of Christ, and I lie not. And I exhort you to remember these things, for the time speedily cometh that ye shall know that I lie not, for ye shall see me at the bar of God. And the Lord God will say unto you, did I not declare my words unto you, which were written by this man? Like as one crying from the dead, yea, even as one speaking out of the dust. I declare these things unto the fulfilling of the prophecies, and behold, they shall proceed forth out of the mouth of the everlasting God, and his word shall hiss forth from generation to generation. And God shall show unto you that which I have written is true. And again I would exhort you that ye would come unto Christ and lay hold upon every good gift and touch not the evil gift nor the unclean thing. And awake and arise from the dust, O Jerusalem, yea, and put on thy beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion, and strengthen thy stakes, enlarge thy borders forever, that thou mayest no more be confounded. That the covenants of the eternal Father, which he hath made unto you, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourself of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. And now I bid unto you farewell. I soon go to rest in the paradise of God until my spirit and body shall again reunite. And I am brought forth triumphant through the air to meet you before the pleasing bar of the great Jehovah, the eternal judge of both quick and dead. So we know that life is serious, most serious. And you're looking at a man that has to pay attention to the things that I've said this morning. It behooves us all to know that we're real. God is real. His love is real. His power is real. The world is real. And there is days ahead of us in which the evidence of each day will be the evidence of our love toward God. Thank you.
I can get it later. Okay. Thank you, Brother Yates. We're going to close this morning with number 125. Number 125, and shall we stand? Bow with me. My kind and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for this opportunity we've had this morning to come and hear Your Word preached. We're thankful for the message You've caused to be brought to us, and Father, I pray that as we go about the rest of our day and the rest of our week, that we'll be mindful of Your love for us and our responsibilities of our love for our brothers and sisters. Father, we are truly grateful for the plan that You have for salvation and the hope that we can have by following Your commandments. Father, we are mindful of the many who are sick and afflicted, both physically and spiritually. I do pray for our elderly, and I pray for our young people and the decisions of the day in which they live. Father, I pray for that You would watch over those who are traveling and that we might be able to meet again to hear Your word preached. And I pray these things in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.